This podcast is brought to you by Nil Desperandum, literary fiction in the audio format from the Bear Crawling Nation. www.ndstories.com.
Skype of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Scenario, The Plantation, by Wesley Martin, from Mansions of Madness, published by Chaosium Incorporated.
Hello.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How was the convention?
Oh, not too bad. I had to work for most of it, but I got there. I got to run the mod.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, went kind of well, but yeah, it was late, so not a lot of people around, but
oh,
do
really?
What you can do. Yeah. But it was good. You know, we actually picked up a fun little zombie board game. That's
morning, y'all.
One guy. Oh, howdy.
Morning, Seth.
An old game called Posthumous Z. And it's this one guy who produced the whole thing.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
Pretty great, yeah.
Nice.
So a little piece of the con. Very cool.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Randall.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Not bad.
Very well.
All right, so I was bad, and I did not have a chance to listen to all the goodness from last week.
Well, that's just as well, so you'll, Mr. Williams will be completely in the dark. Mm-hmm. So that's appropriate, though. Good.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Ah!
Oh, my God, zombies!
So now my recorder works fine,
oh,
by the way.
Of course.
Yeah. As soon as it's not necessary.
Oh, at least we have a backup.
Yeah, right.
Jim, do you know how many? Do you still keep track of the amount of hits we're getting on the recording?
Yes, I haven't checked it for quite a while. Let's see. Overall, hang on, I think just as I'm about to say it, I think that's Ed popping up. Let's see. Morning, Ed.
Hi.
Oh, you are faint, good sir.
A bit faint.
Much better.
That's better, yes.
You're very faint as well.
Well, I never.
Massive volume, that'll help.
So... to answer your question, Randall, episode 9 has, so far has a total of 93 downloads.
Wow.
Episode 8 is actually the largest with 187. And then the rest are all floating right around 120 or so.
Really?
except for episode 2, which only had 60. That's the smallest.
Yeah, nobody liked that one anyway.
Apparently not.
That is strange. No, that's a surprising amount, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Not bad for a little campaign.
Yeah.
And we should start doing public service announcements and stuff,
Remember, kids, don't use horrible black magic from beyond space to die. The more you know.
Oh, speaking of which, do we have a Cthulhu Mythos score increase from last session? I'm sitting pretty at 5. I don't know if we're up from there.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Ratcliffe is, but for different reasons.
Oh, well, yeah. He finished a book.
Yes.
Good job.
No, I swear, I've got 15 Cthulhu Mythos.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Everyone else is going crazy, except...
I understand, and I appreciate it. Wow.
I must have just read Cthulhu's cookbook or something.
That's right. Yeah. Take the Shoggoth mass. Sprinkle it with polyp dust. All right.
Vigo muffins.
Nice. Okay, so I'm going to... I have to retcon the dates a little bit just to make sure we're actually kind of sorted out here. It was the 5th of September was a Friday, and that is actually the day that Joe and Jason showed up at your house and you met them. So it was Saturday morning that you guys boarded the train. That would be the 6th of September, and Saturday night that you had the incident. So we will pick up the action with the three of you on Sunday morning, the 7th of September. However, before we do that, we have to jump back to Saturday morning, back up in Providence. And presumably, Mr. Williams is at his barbering Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly busy... a good steady clientele. There's some good work going on. Would you make a spot hidden roll, please, sir?
I most certainly will. I pass. 19.
Oh, very nice. You notice that throughout the morning, there is a car parked across the street that hasn't moved. And you notice it because there are two gentlemen inside who are both dressed in... black suits. They appear to be watching your shop.
Very interesting.
Sometime around mid-morning, another gentleman enters your shop, a younger fellow, probably in his about early 20s, with wearing the suit of a Western Union dispatch courier. Mm-hmm. He walks in your shop, Terrence Williams, telegraph for Mr. Terrence Williams.
Oh, that's me over here. Yes.
Yes, sir. Would you just sign here, please?
Very well. Sign him my life away. There you
go. here you are, sir. Have a nice day.
Oh, thank you.
He hands you a small yellow sheet of paper. It says Western Union on it.
Mm-hmm. We'll... pop it open and have a look.
And it is quite evidently a telegraph, headlined from evil Skype. Okay. Anyway, from Virginia, from Mr. Ratcliffe.
All right.
And Mr. Ratcliffe, exactly what was in that telegram?
Well, in that telegram, I was asking him to come down as soon as he could to South Carolina to meet us down at the house of... No, to meet us at the train station in Charleston.
Or, come to a train station.
Where did we decide to stay?
You didn't.
Oh, that's right, we hadn't. I guess it's probably just a confused... Probably it's just a confused mess of, oh my god, there's more horrible things, come down here.
Stop. Come back down. Save us. Stop. All right.
Another child has been kidnapped. Stop. Being shot at again. Stop.
Please, on trains.
Please join us.
I'll respond, no can do. Sounds like fun, but...
So having received this telegram, what would you like to do, sir?
Well, after dramatically rolling my eyes, we'll flip the sign over on the door, closed for renovations again, and finish up with the clientele we have in there. You know, have everybody else head home. Send home the old guys playing checkers, etc. Yeah. And then I'll head over to the train station. See if I can get a quick ride on down.
A firm friend rushing off to the... Rushing off to
certain doom.
Yes. Yep. but of course, I will pack a good bit first. Make sure I've got my trusty, dusty shaving kit. And...
With a fairly new straight razor.
Yes, very new. Top of the line, no doubt. Because we got paid so well for the last gig, you know. And yeah, once I'm well packed with sundries and such, I'll be off and about.
Okay. The train will be leaving shortly. The schedule has you arriving in Charleston Monday morning. Would you make another spot hidden roll, please?
Mm-hmm. Charleston, South Carolina?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, pass.
You notice that the same car that you saw parked outside your barbershop has apparently been following you around and has followed you to the train station as well. Mm-hmm. Although it appears that the gentleman inside did not follow you onto the train.
If I see him, I'll give him a wave. Nice seeing you, gentlemen, again.
So you were on the train headed south. I still don't have a train sound effect. I forgot to get one. Darn it.
There you go.
Anyway, Sunday morning, Dr. Larson, Mr. Ratcliffe, Mr. Ballantyne. Throughout the night, the porters on the train have basically kept you guys, have kind of been stationed outside your rooms. They put a blanket over the body, which has basically just been left in the hall, and they're just kind of keeping people away from it and keeping an eye on the six of you, or sorry, the five of you. And mid-morning, the train rolls into Charleston, South Carolina. This is, again, Sunday morning, the 7th of September. Looking out the window as you arrive into the station, you see that there are a number of policemen arrayed about the terminal there.
This isn't going to end well.
The train pulls in. The whistle goes, and you can hear. You can hear on the car that you're on. The passengers in the nearby compartment are getting their luggage, and. Getting off the train And you can hear kind of comments as people kind of scoot past the large body lying in the hallway, lying in the passageway. And you can see up and down the station, everyone else getting off the train as well.
Yes.
I guess I'll poke my head up the at the blanket to see if the conductors or train men are still out there.
Yes, they are. Mm. And in fact, they have been joined by another gentleman in a suit. And you can see one of the porter or the conductor is engaged in some kind of discussion with him. He is pointing at the body and is pointing at your door as you stick your head out. And the gentleman kind of looks things over. And you can see him kind of wave to someone that you can't see. And you hear another, and you hear what sounds like a couple more gentlemen boarding the train.
I'm going to, I guess I'll just keep watching.
Okay. As you are watching, the gentleman in the suit starts walking towards your cabin. And he is quickly joined by four uniformed policemen. And they pull up in front of your door.
He's all pull back the blanket the rest of the way and find a seat back in the compartment.
That's better. Two of the policemen knock on the compartment next to yours, which is, of course, the compartment being shared by Professor Gist and Joe. And the gentleman in the suit goes, is this the Ratcliffe party?
Yes, I'm Mr. Ratcliffe, and these are the people who work for me.
You will be coming with us to the police station, sir. I suggest you come quietly.
Now, do we do anything noisily? What should we do with our luggage?
It will be brought along later. You can just leave it for now. It will be taken care of by the station.
Well, thank you kindly. Come on, boys. Let's go with the nice, besuited gentleman.
Whatever you say, boss.
Professor Gist and Joe come out of the other compartment, and they are being brought along as well. You are escorted off the train through the train station. There are a couple of police cars waiting outside. And as you are being escorted off, you see that some medical personnel are headed onto the train, presumably to recover the body. You are ushered into the police car and taken into Charleston to the Central Police Station. Once there, you are brought inside and you are escorted to a holding cell. And all five of you are placed into a holding cell. There's no one else in there, so you have it to yourselves. The door is locked, and the gentleman in the suit who escorted you off the train and who escorted you here says, "You gentlemen just have a seat. We'll be with you in a little while."
All right.
Great. We're in a southern prison. This is not going to end well.
We need to get our story straight, don't we?
Damn Yankees.
I mean, we can't just tell them that that there's this some evil sorcerer has raised a zombie and sent it to attack Joe and Professor Gears.
It would be kind of difficult to
pass not off seen as the truth. As we've seen.
What was that?
They've not seen the horrors we've seen, Jeffrey.
Well, they do have their medical personnel looking over. It seemed like they had some doctors or some orderlies going to take care of our friend in the train. Of course, all they'll probably see is a rotten body riddled with buckshot.
Yeah, once they check the body, they will realize that it's been dead for quite a while. So, I don't see a problem saying that we were attacked by that thing. And, you know, we should say that we're here visiting how do we play it with Gist?
Yeah, well, we're down here at the behest of Professor Gist.
Mm-hmm.
Is he are the professor and Joe with us, or are they
held
somewhere else?
Nope, they're with you.
All right, Professor, what's your idea? I don't think we can tell them that we were attacked by the living dead.
No, I would certainly not suggest such a thing. I think we can clear all this up. Certainly by morning. My friend, Mr. Winsworthy, will be here in the morning to take us out to the plantation. But I'm certain the detectives here in Charleston are a fine lot, fine, honest, upstanding men. And I'm sure that we'll have this cleared up in no time. Just need to explain to them what happened, of course.
That's going to be quite a handful, Professor.
After about half an hour, the detective, the guy in the suit, returns and says, "You, boy, come here." And he's indicating Joe. I really wish I knew where that came from.
I believe I do. Seth, if, and I don't mean to do this, but when you are not speaking, if you don't mind muting your microphone.
Oh, sure thing.
The feedback from you is what is causing those problems.
All right, more feedback?
Yes. Let's give that a try. It may not work, but yeah, I mean... And hopefully that'll work out. Just hopefully he'll remember to unmute his microphone when he needs to speak. Good habits. Phenomenal.
Seth, you don't hear it, right?
No, I don't hear it at all.
It is Seth's microphone.
The feedback, yeah.
That must be it.
Seth, mute your microphone.
It is muted.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we tried it this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna unplug it for a second and see if that helps.
That did not help.
Nope.
Never mind. I was sure of it. Well. Something is wrong. Now, before we continue, though, whenever I dropped Seth from the call before, that would work. But I don't want to have to, we don't want to have to do that, because that's kind of crappy.
Yeah. Do you want to try hosting the call, Dave? And we'll see if that at least makes it happen less often.
Sure.
Maybe if Seth hosted the call. One of us might start feeling better.
Oh, Ed, did you want to try and see if it works better? You don't know how your internet is.
Yeah, so why don't you host the call, Dave, as the other times, so you can handle that part. I believe if you hang and call him fast, the sound will go away and Seth will miss the game because it's just gonna be 1 second.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, as long as he's okay with it.
Sure, I'm good.
All right,
let's try it. See what happens.
Okay. Yep.
Good morning.
Oh. Good morning. Is that that working?
It is.
For the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I do have the ability to manage calls. Okay. All right. I will keep a weather eye out.
That was kind of interesting. I've never seen this happen before. As soon as I hung up, I got in the Skype window, came up with a little survey questionnaire. How would you rate the quality of this call?
I have had that before. I've been tempted to say, like, poor. And I was like,
yeah, that happened to me last time.
I haven't seen that before. Cool. Okay. Moving on.
So after I admit an ear-piercing screech of death.
Yes.
Says, we're just taking him for questioning. Don't worry yourself. And he disappears down the hall.
Okay, I want to make sure that I you know, will recognize whoever is taking him. So I pay a lot of attention to the guys that are taking Joey.
Okay. Time passes.
As time is passing, I want to see if I can remember if any of the guys in suits that we saw on the in or around the train looked at all similar to the men in suits that we saw around Mr. Corbett's house.
Why, yes, they do, or did.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Not that you recognize any faces in particular, but just the specific suits that they were wearing, their general bearing. Yes, there were a couple there that looked remarkably familiar.
Very interesting.
A little bit more time passes. The detective returns with Joe, and he's put back in the holding cell with the rest of you. And he says, okay, boys, I don't know what's going on here, and I'm not sure I like it, but we'll be letting you go here in just a little bit. You just sit tight. And he walks away.
Hey, Joey. I go to him and quietly I start asking him questions. What did they tell you back there?
They didn't really tell me anything. They just asked me what happened, and I said I didn't know. There was just screaming and gunshots, and that's all I told them, really.
Okay. They were not rude or anything with you.
No, not at all.
Okay.
He looks a little nervous, but not particularly.
Yeah.
Turned out by anything.
I want to run psychology just in case. I pass.
Yeah, he just looks a little nervous from being in the. You know, the white man's police station, but otherwise, not too bad. Not otherwise, he doesn't look, you know, he doesn't look particularly concerned.
Okay.
After just a few minutes, a uniformed police officer comes back to the holding cell, opens it up, says, "Okay, gentlemen, you're free to go. Right this way."
All right.
Come on, let's go. We got business, we got other things to do. Let's get out of here.
Get up and file out.
He leads you out the front of the police station. And as you're walking through the police station, you see off to the side the detective standing with two men in black suits, engaged in conversation with them. He looks a little upset. He looks a little upset.
The detective.
Yes.
Oh.
But the men in the black suits are kind of just impassively responding to him. You get the feeling that they don't really consider him that important. And you are escorted out the front of the police station and onto the street in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. And the policeman says, "Your bags are waiting for you back at the train station, gentlemen. Have a nice day and stay out of trouble."
Okay, thank you.
You do a wonderful job of doing that.
Have we ever seen these men in black before? By any chance, were they the ones we saw in front of Corbett's house?
You don't recognize their faces in particular, but based on their suits and their bearing and their general attitude, yes, they seem strikingly familiar to the to the guys who questioned you after that Corbett affair.
Okay. Jeffrey, did you recognize any of the policemen?
I don't recognize their faces, but those suits and the way they carried themselves seem very familiar. I think you know what I mean, where we've seen them before.
Mm-hmm. Is that the train station speaker?
Yes.
A big announcement is going to...
Sorry about that. That was mine. Turn that off.
No problem. Jim, I was the one who saw the guys when they were leaving on the back, the guys were shooting at us.
Yes.
At Gibbs' house. And are these guys the same?
No.
No, okay.
Nope. The guys who were shooting at you were obviously, were very poor. They were very shabbily dressed.
Yeah.
You know, not professional shooters.
Okay.
These guys were shooting at us, they'd probably have shot us with laser guns or something.
All right.
Well, gentlemen, this is Professor Gist. Lahu will be here in the morning to take us out to the plantation. I suggest we return to the train station and secure our baggage and find a nice hotel for the evening.
Sounds agreeable. Yeah. We should also leave a message for our companion, Mr. Williams, who will be joining us shortly.
Ah, yes. Probably a good idea.
Thank you, luck.
You hope.
I don't know. We just better hope that there are no more zombies on southbound trains.
And what do you guys make out of the men in black? This is not the first time that we see them.
No, it's strange that they kind of got us out of jail.
Yeah.
What would be their reason for doing that? I mean, are they looking out for us?
So it seems.
Yes.
Could be right. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that just keep our plans and let's see if we see them again. Maybe if we see them again, we can actually talk to them.
I'm not sure if that's a good idea, Dr. Larson. They might be. I don't know. They look like pretty high level G-men to me. You know, they could. I don't know. There could be something bigger at work here than we suspect.
Yeah.
You think the U.S. government is involved in occult activity?
Or aware of it?
I don't know. But for the moment, it seems that we're more useful alive than dead.
Yeah.
In a southern jail.
Well, let's hope they don't institute a policy change anytime soon.
All right, let's get to the train station, get our baggage, and then wait for Mr. Williams.
Okay, you were able to return to the train station, and the the manager returns your luggage. If you would care to check it, it's all there. It hasn't been tampered with. Doesn't appear to be any problem as far as that goes.
Okay.
And Professor Gist suggests a rather nice hotel not far from the train station.
So, all right. Okay. Well, let's leave a message with one of the station masters or an official to make sure that Mr. Williams is directed to our hotel.
Don't we have to wait for him when the next train comes? I think that's better than leave a message. I would rather not be, you know, that obvious.
Oh, so sounds sensible. We could take turns waiting for him.
Yeah, they will know. So let's find out first, and hey, Yeah, let's
back with a vengeance.
Okay. I was saying, let's find out first when the train's coming, and then we can come back here around that time.
The next train from Providence?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sounds good.
The station master indicates that there are two more trains today, one in the mid-afternoon and one in the evening. And then they're the same schedule, a mid-morning, a mid-afternoon, and an evening train arriving tomorrow, Monday.
Okay. So we'll come and wait for Terrence in that order. Let's go to the hotel.
Okay.
All right.
The hotel is just a couple blocks from the train station. You're able to get some porters to shift your baggage there. It's not a problem. They have rooms available. It is a very nice, very kind of formal southern hotel. There's Professor Gist suggests a nice restaurant that he knows right next door for lunch. And you are welcome to settle in. If there's anything in particular you would like to do while you're here?
Yeah, I would like to check if we've been followed. I would like to run Spalhini and see if I see either the men in black or policemen or the guys who are shooting at us.
Why don't all three of you take a spot hidden roll?
Eighteen. I pass.
You see no one.
Okay.
In particular, that appears to
be 56.
You.
I fail.
You also see no one who appears to be following.
I also pass, and I imagine I don't see anyone.
And you as well see. There does not appear to be anyone following you or watching you.
Okay. Okay, so we'll have let's have a nice meal then. I'm hungry.
As you settle in, the staff in the restaurant looks a little concerned about your having a young black boy in the restaurant with you.
Oh.
But a few choice words from Professor Gist, and they grumble about it, but they're not going to do anything about it. During lunch,
something running against horrors from the unknown.
As lunch progresses, Professor Gist requests one of the local newspaper from one of the waiters, and he starts reading. This would be the Charleston News and Courier, if you're curious.
So, what's happening in town, Professor?
Appears to be nothing particularly out of the ordinary. It's annual end of summer picnic coming up, of course. Let's see. Fascinating. Another story about that island up there in Maine. Have you gentlemen heard anything about that? Strangest thing. Apparently, an entire population of some island went missing. It's just disappeared. The entire island was deserted.
No, we would know nothing about that. We have never heard anything about that ever.
Doesn't sound like any great loss, you know, these island folk alike, generally.
Fascinating story, man. Can't imagine what could have happened to an entire village population like that to just up and disappear.
Yeah.
It's like they were swallowed by the sea. Oh, hey guys, if this feedback stuff keeps popping up, you guys can do something to, I guess, disable my character for this this go around, and I can keep off for a while to see if that helps.
Not necessary.
If we just hang and call again, I think we're okay.
All right.
Yeah, not necessary.
Ready.
But we will work, or at least I'll try and find some time to work towards what exactly the problem is and all that stuff. Not very computer savvy, but I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Seth, I send you an email, so if you can gather that information, maybe I can help.
Alright, I'll see what I can do.
Okay, sounds good. Alright, so I'll say let's just have our meal and then let's start going to the station and see if Terrence comes in any of those trains.
Okay. In the meantime, Mr. Ballantine, would you make an idea roll, please?
83. That's a fail.
Okay, never mind.
Just imagining what's going on in Mr. Ballantine's head all the time. It's like, wow, I'm a really bad investigator. Oh, wow. Boobies. I mean, this idea roll never makes. Oh, man.
These southern women are...
By the stake, I mean, devouring. It's taking up all of my limited attention span.
Dr. Larson and Mr. Ratcliffe, would you care to make idea rolls?
No.
It's a good thing, isn't it, Dr. Larson?
It's the heat. Must be the heat.
Yeah. Got a 73, but I made it.
Oh, excellent.
Brilliant.
There is a... You notice that Mr. Gist is reading the local newspaper. The Charleston News and Courier, which is a rather old and august newspaper. They probably have some archives.
Ah, that's true.
And it occurs to you that newspaper archives have been a handy source of information in the past. And you do have some time to kill.
What are you thinking, Jeffrey?
Yes, you seem to be deep in thought.
Yeah.
You had an idea?
Perhaps he's come to the realization that his microphone is muted.
That's weird. All right. Well, for now,
Mr. Reckless shares with you the idea that it might be worth that it might be worthwhile to check the local newspaper archives to see if there's any information on the Gist family or the Gist family plantation, perhaps its history.
Yeah, makes good sense. And but I would like to do that without Albert Gist. So I will just say, you know, oh yeah, that maybe we can do it tomorrow or something. I was planning to do some shopping around the area. I would like to get some food supplies and some ammo. And so maybe you can wait for us at the hotel, Albert, and we'll come back after a while. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be just fine, sir. Just fine. Joe and I will settle in and enjoy a nice relaxing afternoon.
Okay, sounds good. So we finish our meal, and if nothing else happens, I'll say, hey, let's go to the hotel, leave everything there, and we can go shopping.
Okay.
Before we go, can I just ask Joe what his surname is?
You can ask. And he responds that it is not at all germane to the story.
Okay, Joe Germain.
Okay. That works. Yeah, we'll go with Germain. It's unspecified, okay, so.
Joe Generic.
Exactly.
Or probably just.
Well, if you were completely out of character here, the way it's actually listed in his profile in the scenario, Little Joe, fugitive from evil.
It's a nice superlative he's got there. That's really cool. Least likely to run away from evil. Good.
Yes.
Well, usually they will have the name of the owner of the plantation, so probably Joe Geist, to identify them as, you know, they work there.
Yeah, but they're just sharecroppers. They're not slaves, so.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Out of war.
Yeah.
60 years ago, things might have been different.
All right. Okay, guys. So.
Yes, I might join you with shops.
Yeah, that will be helpful. And maybe Jeffrey wants to come along as well, eventually.
Yes, he could probably pick up some literary journals.
Okay. Where are you guys headed first?
Yeah. Library, I guess.
Okay.
Or how about the archives of the Charleston Herald, is it?
That would be the News and Courier.
Wow, I got that completely wrong. What about the archives of the News and Courier?
Yeah, so that's good. Let's go there first.
Maybe we could see if there's any coverage of the disappearance of Joe's sister as well.
Okay, I presume you will take a taxi?
Yeah.
You'll have to pay, Dr. Larson. I'm a bit, bit short.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Ed. I have some cash in my pocket, so...
Yes,
no, for a cab.
Terence gets here with all his gold. That'll certainly certainly help things flow a little.
Okay, the hotel is able to get a car for you. That's not a problem. They ask if you just want the one ride or if you would like to hire the car for the rest of the day.
How much is that going to cost us?
$5
to hire the car. $5, Jesus. Well, that's a lot of money, but I think we'll be okay.
That's good, we'll play.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess it's going to be useful. So if you can wait for us outside, it will be helpful.
Okay. After a few minutes, the car arrives. Hotel indicates that this is your car. Gentleman walks in and says, yeah, this is the Larson party?
Yes.
Okay, gentlemen, where would you like to go?
What's the name of the place at again?
The News and Courier. The offices of the News and Courier, please.
Ah, not a problem. Just take us a few minutes.
Very good.
Escorts you outside and opens the door for you.
Okay.
Perhaps you'd like to tip the man.
Am I back?
Yay.
Huzzah.
Yep.
Very good.
Awesome.
So, are you with us?
We're going to the archives, right?
Right.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Are we in the cab already going there?
Yes.
Okay. There's something that is is I find a little bit strange. When we were heading to Geese House, back in your place, Jeffrey, do you remember that Joey was giving directions on where to go? He knew exactly where we were going. And when you asked him, he said that he's never been there before.
Yes, I do. I do remember. I asked him if he had ever been to Virginia, but he said he hadn't.
Yeah, that's. I find that really strange. Don't you guys?
I did find it strange, but you know, not much surprises nowadays.
I wonder if he's, getting visions or dreams or something like that because strange rituals he's going through.
Possibly well, he's hypersensitive.
Yeah, maybe we can talk to him. I would like to talk to him, but when Giz is not present. So I will buy some chocolate on the way back and see if you can distract Giz while I'll talk to him. Is that okay?
Very well.
Okay. I just don't want to go through another poor Sarah scenario. You know what I mean.
No, very much.
So, Dr. Larson, do you have suspicions about Joe? Maybe you think he's somewhat sinister?
I'm not thinking. Probably he's just influenced by this rituals they're executing on the plantation. But I'm suspicious about Gist. Because he's saying that his brother is the one doing all this mambo jambo, but I'm not sure about that.
Maybe we could do a little research on Albert Gist as well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'd bet there'd be some quite large malformed skeletons in his closet.
Yeah, let's actually find out. Do we split our research? Well, let's get there and start. Let's see what we can find.
Okay, the car arrives at the offices of the Charleston News and Courier. The driver gets out and opens the door for you. Says, "Here you are, gentlemen."
Okay, so you want to...
I'll have the car waiting right here. Should I have the engine running just in case?
No, there's no need, sir. Don't worry. We're going to take our time.
Okay. I'll be right here.
All right. So what? What do you guys think we should look for first? Let's go on the plantation, and let's go back and see what we can find about Albert and his brother. I don't remember his name.
I think it was Caleb Gist.
Caleb, yeah.
We should look up the history of the plantation to see if there's any previous records of foul deeds or any other suspicious activity.
How
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, what was that, Mr. Ballantyne?
I was just wondering to my colleagues, did Albert tell us how long the plantation had been in the family?
No, we didn't ask.
No, I didn't think he volunteered the information either.
Okay. And also, we could try and find out any information about the disappearance of Joe's sister. And his mother.
If there is any track of that,
I'll focus on searching the history of the plantation, and since I've got much more occult knowledge, if anything suspicious in that regard shows up, I should be able to recognize what was going on there.
Makes sense.
And then I think most everyone else can either, you know, look at more the more recent occurrences.
Yeah, we can both do that, Ed and I.
Okay, as you enter Frank Ed Valentine.
We fight crime.
Edward Valentine, that's my full name. Many people call me by my middle name.
As you enter the offices of the Charleston News and Courier, a young lady indicates that you are more than welcome to browse their extensive archives. Their archives are quite complete, going back to the Civil War. Prior to the Civil War, they're a bit more spotty, as there was a bit of trouble and some of the historical records were lost around that time. But there's still some older copies and so forth in the archives, and she leads you there. So I believe that'll be some library use rolls.
Let's take a look. Yep, 40. Got it.
Okay.
So I'm looking up the as far back as I can in the history of the Gist plantation.
Sure. Dr. Larson, Mr. Ballantyne.
Okay. No, 95. I knew it. It was going to happen.
Okay, I rolled a 74, which is a plus.
I'm sorry, what was that, Mr. Valentine?
That was a 64 pass.
Okay. Dr. Larson is unable to find anything, of course. Mr. Ballantyne, you did say pass, right?
Yes.
Okay. You find you were able to find one article of interest that is fairly recent, actually. It dates to just a couple months ago. A short little article. The headline reads, Detective Murdered.
Oh, I don't like the sound of this.
It is a newspaper from the future.
The mutilated...
Failing you. Sorry.
The mutilated body of missing Charleston police detective Jasper Galloway was discovered early yesterday morning by local fishermen. The body was found under a tangle of cypress roots in the Edisto River, just south of the estate of Mr. Caleb Gist. Officer Galloway had been looking into rumors about a Satanist church operating in Charleston. He had been missing for several days. an inquiry by Colton County Sheriff Virgil Trucks included a search of the Gist land, but no evidence regarding the detective's death was discovered. Sheriff Trucks has stated that he believes the detective must have been murdered in Charleston, and the body later dumped in the river. Officer Galloway was unmarried and is survived by his father and mother. And would you make an idea roll, Mr. Valentine?
Probably not. 30, yes.
Oh, very good, very good. It occurs to you that, according to the article, this county sheriff, is, as he stated in the paper, he believes that the detective was murdered in Charleston. However, Colton County specifically, and the Edisto River and the Gist Plantation are quite a long ways out of Charleston, whereas there's a nice large natural harbor right here where you could otherwise dump a body. So it occurs to you that it's a little strange that someone would murder someone here in Charleston and then carry the body all the way out there to dump it in the river rather than just pitching it into the harbor. Yeah, Mr. Ratcliffe,
looking
through the older papers that are there, you find an article in the paper dated July 6, 1825. The headline reads, Voodoo Rituals Uncovered.
Most interesting.
A raid led by Captain Pearson of the Charleston Town Constabulary disrupted a voodoo ritual being held in the swamps to the south of Waterboro on property owned by the Gist family. Interrupted was a slave ceremony involving non-Christian practices of worship. All participants in the primitive ceremony escaped into the swamp. Several of Captain Pearson's men were wounded in the assault. The raiders discovered odd paraphernalia, including swords, flags inscribed with undecipherable runes, and human skulls.
Human skull is always fun. Is there anything else occult related or otherwise disreputable about the early history of the plantation?
Nope.
All right.
All you're able to find reference. It's the only reference you're able to find.
Okay. Can I make an occult roll to see if I recognize the what sort of ceremony that would be?
I'm going to say no. Specifically,
it's too,
because
too vague.
It's too vague. Yes, it just says voodoo, and it doesn't. There's no real description of anything. So. There's nothing to hang your hat on there.
Curses. All right, I'll have to find an occult bookshop somewhere and look that up.
And after an afternoon of searching, those are the only two references you're able to find.
Okay. Any luck? Frank?
Yes, it appears that the detective was murdered recently, quite recently, washed up in the River Edisto, near the Gist Plantation. Apparently he was investigating reports of some kind of satanic church in the town, in Charleston. The sheriff, Virgil Trucks, seems to think that he was murdered in Charleston.
My computer hates me today.
Okay. The, and see what Jeffrey now and see how we start doing some research. I would like to talk to the parents of this detective, see if we are allowed to search through his things, maybe, you know, notes or anything we can find.
Well, we could ask the sheriff. He may have his parents' address.
which just out of curiosity, which sheriff would that be? The sheriff here in Charleston, or the sheriff Trucks mentioned in the paper?
Sheriff Trucks.
Okay.
Thought he was in Charleston.
No. Sheriff Trucks is the sheriff of Colton County, which is where the Gist Plantation is located.
Oh,
never mind.
Okay. Not here in Charleston.
Okay. Jim, we also keep track of the time. We don't want to lose. We don't want to miss the train from Providence.
Okay. After all this searching, the afternoon train is arriving quite soon.
Okay. So
let's go and meet it, and I can tell you what I found out on the way there.
Okay, sounds good.
As you're leaving the building, make a party luck roll.
Yes, we're lucky.
Oh,
excellent.
Yeah.
the young lady who escorted you into the archives, as you're leaving, did I hear you gentlemen are looking for information about the Gist Plantation?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, that's a bad place. Bad place.
Yes, so we've heard.
Have you heard about the hell holes?
No.
Yes, they've been...
Please elaborate.
all around that place, there have been hell holes. They open up under you suddenly in the ground, and whoever is standing over them is dragged into the earth, screaming and kicking, and then the earth just closes up after them. Sorry, what was that, Mr. Ballantyne?
I was just saying, I think a hellhole just opened up underneath Mr. Ratcliffe.
Probably.
Sorry. Young lady, have you ever seen one of these hellholes?
I don't go out there into the swamp. I just heard rumors and all those people going missing.
Oh, yes. Has anybody disappeared recently that you've heard of?
Well, I think there was a detective found murdered there not too long ago, a couple months perhaps. But seems like, I don't know, seems like somebody goes missing around there every 4 or 5 months, something like that, maybe. There's always reports of people going missing. Must be the hell holes getting them.
I'm sorry, I must have blacked out. What were we talking about? Hell holes?
Yes. Hell holes opening up and swallowing people whole.
That sounds dreadful.
Yes, you have heard of such a phenomenon, Mr. Research?
No, I can't say I've heard of anything happening like that in real life. There are certainly several instances in mythology where the ground will simply open up and swallow an offending person whole. It's usually as some sort of punishment.
Science calls them earthquakes.
Right, what you say?
I'm not even going to, being that Mr. Ratcliffe is from the south, yes, swampy areas are known to have quicksand. And there are quite a few swamps in South Carolina. Well, you gentlemen have a nice day now.
You too, miss. Please avoid any hellholes.
Well, I certainly will do my best. Thank you, sir.
As we go, as we leave the light, this is what I come across Albert, because this has been going on with his family for, you know, quite a long time, and he's why is Caleb doing all this alone? And, you know, if they're brothers, so just doesn't make sense. If they were raised in the same way, probably they're in league somehow. I just don't want to fully talk about it.
You're very suspicious, aren't you, Dr. Larson?
Can't really afford it.
A little bit, yeah.
Yes. Well, I don't blame you entirely after the Monaghan Island experience. But wasn't this zombie on the train? Wasn't that attacking Albert and Joe?
Because I believe it is after Joey. And
I think that because Professor Gifts fled to the north, I think that that might indicate that he wanted to get away from his more, shall we say, blunt heritage.
Yeah. That could be it. Well, I just... he should share more information with us, then. If that is the case. If we are going to trust him, he needs to be more open with us and share more of his family history.
I very much agree.
He's done it so far. All right. We can go and talk to this Jeffrey Trox and also see if they have any of the files that this Galway was working on. And if not, we can go to his parents. And I believe so far that's the only lead we get. Am I right? Or am I missing something, Jeffrey? Do you find anything else that we can use? Well, we're on the way to the train station, Jim.
Okay. How about another party luck roll?
27. Pass.
The driver has you at the train station just as the late afternoon train from the north is pulling in.
Okay, we wait outside and we keep an eye for Terrence.
It takes about 10 or 15 minutes for what appears to be everyone to disembark from the train, and you do not see a large barber. Do not see Mr. Williams.
All right. Let's come in the next train. Let's come again to the train station.
Next train will be here in the evening.
All right. I would like to stop by and buy chocolate on the way to the hotel.
Okay.
So, what are we doing, Frank? Are we sharing this information with Albert that there's a missing detective and we want to follow the lead?
Well, I think it's definitely worth speaking to the Charleston police, as Mr. Galloway was operating out of Charleston. Maybe we could speak to his boss. We might need some kind of story, though. I mean,
yes, but
the police aren't going to just let anybody, you know, not even a fine private detective such as myself, be involved in the case, are they?
No, especially us. We spend the night there, or we spend some time in jail. Isn't this the same place where we're staying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd almost forgotten that terrible experience.
I don't think we're going to be able to get any information from those guys.
Well, we might be able to. I mean, those men in black suits clearly had authority over the local police. I mean, if we said that we'd been sent by our black-suited colleagues...
Well, I wouldn't like to say that, but we can try. We can try talking to someone there. Now, what do we talk about? What's our story? Why are we looking for information on this Galloway?
Yes, that is a tricky one. We could say perhaps that his father has hired a private detective he wouldn't do that, as the police have kind of pretty much.
Yeah, we cannot say that his father didn't trust Charleston police, so he hired a detective. That's not gonna be
scruffy good. Looking.
Yeah.
Especially some Yankee detective.
Maybe speak to his father.
Yeah. Let's talk to his parents. Let's see if we can find out where he lives, and we'll move from there.
Yes. How many Galloways do you think they are in Charleston?
Well, probably since he was on the news, most people will know where he is. So let's excuse me, cab driver.
Yes, sir.
By any chance, have you heard of this detective? Yes, sir. Galloway was found on the riverside.
Galloway. Oh, that was a couple months back, wasn't it? I remember hearing.
Yeah.
Some detective had been found dead out there in the swamp.
Any chances you know where he lived?
No, can't say I know. I try to stay away from the local police, try not to get involved in such things. I'm a good upstanding Christian man, you understand.
I understand. Where do we go for, you know, to look for someone on address? Maybe we can look on the... Oh, let's actually call.
If you want to find someone, gentlemen, might I suggest the Charleston Post Office?
Okay, let's go there, please.
Ah, certainly. A few minutes drive through Charleston. Arrives at building, big sign, post office. Here you are, gentlemen. Charleston Post Office, best in the world.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sure they'll be able to help you.
We'll be right back.
I'll be right here, sir.
Okay, as we enter the building, what do we see? Is there like a main front desk?
Yes.
Okay, we head to the front desk.
Okay. There's a line of a couple people.
Okay.
Going about their business. Sending letters.
This is official occult detective business.
Stand aside. Yankees coming through.
Frank. Okay. Let's wait until we get there, and we can just ask for Jasper Galloway address. Is that a normal process in the South? Or maybe Jeffrey, you know.
You might not have lived with his parents.
I wouldn't know. I've been spending a lot of time up north lately. A lot more scary stuff happens up north for some reason.
All right. Well, as we get our turn in line, I will ask for Jasper Galloway address.
After it takes a few minutes, there's just a couple people in front of you. You are eventually able to make your way up to the desk to the postal clerk. Yes, how can I help you, gentlemen?
Oh, hi. Listen, I would like to send a letter to Jasper Galloway. Can I have his address?
Jasper Galloway.
Home address.
It'd be here in Charleston, mm-hmm. then, would it, sir? Just one moment.
Thank you.
Pulls out a large book. Starts looking. G Galloway. That's Galloway with the G. Yes. Flips through, runs his finger down. Galloway. Ah, yes, we do have a Galloway here in town. Mr. Jasper Galloway. Oh, my dear. Mr. Galloway is deceased.
Oh.
Well, that's terrible.
Jesus. Well, what about his parents? How many Galloways do you actually have on that list?
That'd be the only Galloway. Galloway Jasper. That's the only Galloway listed in the book.
Oh, can we have his address? Maybe we can give our condolences to his family then.
Make a fast talk roll.
Mighty.
I'm very sorry, sir. If you're a friend of the family, then I'm sure you can find them on your own. We're not in the habit of giving out addresses to Yankees down here. I don't know how you folks do things up north. Down here, we respect a person's privacy.
Can I attempt to...
No, don't pull out your crowbar. We just got out of jail.
Can I say, I'm a private detective. Like, here's my detective license. I worked with Galloway on a few cases in the past, and he was quite a close friend at one time. Sadly, we've fallen out of touch over the last few years, and I'm really quite upset to hear of his demise. And I would dearly like to pay my respects to his parents.
That'll be a fast arc roll, Mr. Valentine.
Okay. 02.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Oh, well, in that case, certainly, sir. Certainly, sir. Here, let me write that down for you. He takes a piece of paper and writes down an address.
Thank you.
Anything else I can do for you, sir? More than happy to help such a esteemed detective from Providence.
I think we're okay, Frank.
Yes, your esteem means a lot to me. So it's good to know that some people appreciate my work.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a nice day, gentlemen. Next.
All right. Let's go to where is it? Let's go to that place and see who do we find there.
Okay. I presume you're going to return to the car and give the address to the driver?
Correct.
Okay.
And on the way... On the way out of the library, I would like to see if I can spot someone paying, you know, more attention than usual to us.
Okay. Make a spot hit and roll.
No, that's a fail.
There does not appear to be anyone paying you undue attention.
All right. Okay. So can we take us to this place and we give him the address?
Okay. Oh, certainly, sir. It's just on the other side of town. Just take us about 10 minutes to get over there. No problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Drive on.
In the meantime, Mr. Williams...
He fell asleep on the train.
Mr. Williams is sleeping on the train? Not a problem. Okay, so about 10 minutes drive.
I'm here. Oh, no. Sorry about that. I actually did fall asleep on the train. Oh.
It's a long train ride from Providence to Charleston.
Oh, yeah.
It is, of course, late Sunday afternoon. The train journey is progressing nicely. Would you make a spot hidden roll, sir?
Mm-hmm. Keep a weather eye out for G-Men. Pass again.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Top notch.
You don't see, there does not appear to be anyone of interest on the train with you. However, you have noticed at least one or two of the stations that the train has stopped at, there has been a gentleman on the platform, a black-suited gentleman.
Yes, I'll be suspicious of everyone else on the train in suits in general. anyone. All right. Well, perhaps I'll approach one if we have a little break during a layover or a transition. Go up to him and say, "Hello, sir. Do you have the time?"
As you're getting, as you get off the train at one of the stations somewhere in Virginia, and start approaching the gentleman in the black suit, who you notice, he turns and walks away from you.
No. No, then I just look at my watch. And I will use the restroom and reboard.
Okay.
Onward.
Train continues its way south. Meanwhile, in Charleston, the driver takes you to a boarding house. This is the address, gentlemen.
Okay.
One of our,
thank you very much.
One of our fine local boarding houses. I'll wait here for you, shall I?
Yes, please.
Please.
Take your time, gentlemen.
Frank, that was actually a good story, the one that you pull on the post office. Maybe we can play it here as well.
Yes, let's ask the desk clerk. Say we're trying to trace this at the boarding house. We're trying to trace this Galloway.
Okay.
And we don't know he's dead yet. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do we find on the address we were given? Jim?
This is a fairly standard boarding house. It's a four-story brick and stone building. Looks like it's been there for a while. It's not a particularly poor part of town, but not a particularly upscale part of town either.
Okay.
So, is there like a desk inside with a...
As you enter the boarding house, there's a couple doors. There's a stair leading upstairs. There's a stairway leading upstairs. One of the doors has a sign on it that says manager.
Give a knock on the door.
Just a minute. You hear a woman's voice coming from inside. The door opens, and there is a middle-aged, kind of frumpy woman there. Yes, can I help you, sir?
Hello, Mom. My name's Valentine. I'm looking for a friend of mine. He's a police officer, Jasper Galloway.
Oh, poor Mr. Galloway. Yeah, he used to room here. He was killed a couple months back, I'm afraid.
Oh my God, that's terrible. We were quite good friends once. We worked together on a few cases, but fallen out of touch lately. That's quite shocking. What happened to him, do you know?
Oh, no, I don't know. There's something about being murdered, and I believe his body was found out in the swamp.
Murdered. Oh, my God.
Yes, terrible business.
Do you have the details of his next of kin? His parents were alive, I believe. I'd like to pay my condolences.
Make a luck roll, Mr. Valentine.
94.
No, I'm afraid I don't have any information on his kin. He was a quiet man, kept to himself. Good boarding, good room. I'm sorry to see him go.
Has his room been relet since his demise?
Yes, it has.
I wonder if we might speak to some of his neighbors.
Well, I don't usually allow people to just go through my boarding house and disturb my tenants. I don't want you causing a ruckus.
Perhaps Dr. Larson could, give you a small financial gift as a to,
maybe if we're just here to talk. We don't want to cause any problems, of course, and we understand your situation. You know what? Actually, maybe if I give you a few dollars just to so you can pay someone to take flowers to the cemetery or something. I pull out a bill of $10 and I give it to him. And if you're so kind as to let us talk to the people here, if you don't mind.
She takes the money and says, "Go right ahead. Go right up ahead. He was up on the third floor."
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, we go up the stairs, and I whisper to Dr. Larson, very tactful.
So, okay, is someone else leaving his apartment already? I missed that part.
Yes.
That's a shame.
Well, yeah, let's talk to the neighbors then.
Yeah. Let's knock on the one of the doors adjacent to his.
Okay. She didn't actually indicate which room was his. She just said he was on the third floor. Based on what you're seeing on the first floor, there appear to be four rooms on each floor.
Should we try?
Yeah, let's try one and play the same. Say that you're looking for Jasper, and see what reaction do we get.
Pretend that we don't know he's dead.
Yeah, let's keep pretending.
Okay.
We're just a bunch of harmless encyclopedia salesmen.
Okay.
Okay, so we knock on the closest door.
Make a luck roll, party luck roll.
89.
There's no answer.
We're going to get shot in the face.
Okay, try the next door.
Make another party luck roll, please.
42. A pass this time.
You hear a dog barking inside. Just a minute. Just a minute. I'm coming. A few minutes pass, and the door opens, and you see standing before you is a quite old, very bent, frail-looking old woman. Yes? What can I help you boys with?
Good afternoon, Mom. My name's Mr. Ballantyne. I'm looking for a...
You sound like a Yankee. Are you a Yankee boy?
Ah, yes, that's right.
She slams the door in your face.
All right, let me give it my go.
Hang on, Mr. Radcliffe. I've still got my lockpick and crowbar.
I'll go ahead. I don't mind old cranky women being beaten.
You could try some of your southern charm, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'll knock on the door again.
I said, "Go away, Yankee."
Oh, don't worry, man. Time. We're not all Yankees out here.
The door opens up a crack. Southern boy, huh? What are you doing with these Yankees, boy?
These would be my companions. we happen to be business associates.
She looks at you kind of sidelong. She gives you kind of a suspicious look. Business associates. Why would you want to be business associates with a bunch of Yankees?
Well, for one, they make excellent human shields. Also, they don't talk much, and they can lift heavy weights without many questions.
You a collaborator, boy? Only thing worse than a Yankee is a collaborator.
Dear God, woman, how long has it been since the Civil War was over? There are more important things at hand.
That would be the War of Southern Independence, boy. She slams the door in your face.
Mr. Ballantyne, you may set fire to the room. I learned some things from the Civil War. I learned some things from General Sherman.
All right, let's try the next door.
God, I hate the South.
Actually,
later.
Clever. Yeah, you know, actually, I'm gonna change strategy here. I'm gonna start. Mr. Galloway, and make a lot of noise to see if someone comes out from this floor.
Okay, you're knocking on the third door now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
make another Galloway. Party luck roll.
99.
Mine goes off.
And collapses.
You don't hear anything from the third door. However, from the fourth door, the fourth door opens, and a large, burly man steps out, holding a pistol, comes out, "Who's making all that racket?"
You do talking, Jeffrey.
Oh, God.
No, we're just here looking for Mr. Galloway, sir. I'm sorry to disturb you.
Is that you I heard disturbing Mrs. Lee?
No.
No, that was some horrible encyclopedia salesman. He's already left.
Mrs. Lee. Like.
You sound like a bunch of Yankees. He levels his pistol at you. I suggest you boys get a move on. You get on out of here now.
All right.
Before there's any trouble.
Let's go, guys.
Okay. Yes, let us away.
Okay.
Hey, we said $10 here, Dr. Larson.
My gosh, I hate the South.
I don't want to see you damn Yankees coming around my place anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn Yankees.
All right, let's go back to the cab.
Yankees, that would be a good name for a baseball team.
Not to mention a good name for a play. Get that BAM in front.
Oh, that's right. I think we should we might want to come back here when there are less armed men about.
Yeah, the problem is that
100 years.
You know, I wanted to look at his notes, and we're not going to be able to do that now. Anyway, so
I guess
we go back to.
We still have Sheriff Virgil Trucks from Carlton County.
Yeah,
he's a rest of us, so we might get something out of him. And he might be able to help us out there as well.
Would you make an idea roll, Mr. Valentine?
I love these.
Yeah. 32, a pass.
Oh, very nice. Yes, it occurs to you that this Sheriff Virgil Trucks, if he is the sheriff of Colton County, which apparently he is, there is at least a reasonable possibility that Professor Gist either knows him or knows of him. Being that this would be the local sheriff, Professor Gist's home.
Yes.
Evening is closing. Right. Evening is closing in, and the late train should be arriving soon.
All right, let's go again to the station and see if we can pick up Terrence this time.
Okay, the driver returns you to the train station. The train should be, according to the schedule, you have about 10 minutes for the train to arrive.
Okay. Do we see anyone here wearing black?
Why don't you all make spot hidden rolls?
Fail. 92, fail.
Dr. Larson?
27 pass.
You do not see anyone in a black suit waiting around the train station.
All right. So we just wait for Terrence or for the train to arrive.
Train arrives. People start getting off. You do not see Mr. Williams among them.
So probably tomorrow. Guys, one minute, please.
No problem. Well, while we're waiting for Dr. Larson, anything else, Mr. Ballantyne or Mr. Ratcliffe?
I don't think we really have many more leads at the moment.
Right. Besides, I don't think there would be anyone around from, unless there were any relations of Captain Pearson from back in 1825. I don't think we'd be able to find anyone who witnessed the voodoo ritual.
No, and again, there's.
Sorry, what was that, Mr. Valentine?
I was just saying, again, there's the old police problem. I don't know why I said that. Perhaps I was assuming that all his descendants would have gone on to become sheriffs or police officers. Very strange. Anyway, so ignore that.
That's right.
So, we could potentially do some time-consuming genealogical research. Or maybe the best thing to do is just ask Albert to see if we can do a little digging about his family history.
And finding out what sort of rituals they were up to there might also help us know what we're up against.
Yes. I mean, he's an occult scholar as well, isn't he? So, you'd think he'd have some kind of idea what Caleb was into. Or at least suspicions.
The paper said it was voodoo, but... And it might very well be, but that can be confused for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's actually talk to him and see what he says. I would like to hear his story. See what can he tell us about Caleb and about his family, and see if we can match that against what we find out on the papers, and see if he's telling the truth or not.
I can get behind that.
Okay.
Good plan.
So you return to the hotel?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's tell him that I didn't buy anything because we were waiting for Terrence on the train and that he didn't come.
Gentlemen, sorry your friend hasn't arrived yet. You're back at the hotel. This is Professor Gist. Joseph and I were just about to head for dinner. Perhaps you would care to join us.
Yes,
all right.
Okay. He suggests the restaurant in the hotel here. Quite a fine little place. Should provide a nice southern dinner for us. So the five of you decamp. You're given a nice large table, patio, nice warm southern evening. Crickets are chirping. Beautiful night.
I will eat whatever they put on the table. Like, I'm not, like, too many things on my head right now. That's to enjoy dinner. So Albert, while we're having dinner, can you share some information with us about your family and Caleb, and because you said that he was on the wrong path. Can you tell us a little bit more to see what we're getting into now that we're here?
Well, yeah, certainly I can share with you some of the family history. More than happy to. Yeah, Gist family is an old family. We've been in these parts for a long time. Yeah, back before the war, that'd be the worst. Be the war of northern aggression, you understand. Family did really well. Plantation was thriving. Cotton was king. Life was good for the family. Of course, then the war of northern aggression came, and everything kind of went to hell, really. We lost just about everything during the rebellion. The cotton prices fell. course, the we lost all the slaves. Had to start paying people for work. Family really became pretty poor. My grandfather and father were really just making a living renting out the land to the sharecroppers. We used to have a house here in Charleston. We had to sell. Family had to sell that one. And in fact, the last of the guest fortune, such as it was really spent by my parents sending myself and Caleb to university. Of course, then the Great War came, and cotton prices spiked, and started doing a little better. And then, of course, after the war, in the 20s, the cotton prices fell again, and fell lower than they ever were, and came on hard times. And I don't know if you boys in the North know about this, but there were some horrible problems with boll weevils. Ruined a lot of years. So I left and went up to Virginia to pursue my studies, and Caleb took over the farm. You know, he's been practicing some of that dark magic, like I said. I don't know for sure what he's been doing, but whatever it is, it's certainly been dark.
But what is this dark magic that you talk about? Is that something that that your family or the employers of your family used to practice in the past?
Sir, certainly not. That's Gist, interesting. Gist family is a good Christian family, I'll have you know.
I'd be interested to know, sir. We took the liberty of looking up some information about the surrounding area. We found a news report from 1825 about a voodoo ritual that was practiced on the Gist family grounds. Wanted to know if you had ever heard anything about that.
Well, I don't know about any ritual in particular, but certainly the slaves who were here, they practiced their own African cult stuff they brought with them.
I want to roll a psychology.
Okay.
No, I failed.
Okay. Yeah, the slaves back then, and I guess a lot of the sharecroppers now, they follow the way of Abaya.
Oh, of course. That's what I meant.
Did you make an occult roll, Mr. Rex?
No, of course. That's good.
That's a pass?
That's a pass.
Okay. You are familiar with... Was that the noise pass? There we go. You are familiar with the term Obeah as being an occult belief practice that was brought to the South from West Africa with the slaves. It's been kind of like the Haitian voodoo is blended with Christianity and become kind of its own thing. It's not necessarily good, it's not necessarily evil, it's just kind of some ritualistic practices.
Just something they developed in response to their displacement.
I understand they believe many of the slaves around the plantation specifically believe they worshipped Dumbala. Remember hearing that name quite a bit. I'm sure you're familiar with Dumbala, Mr. Ratcliffe.
Let's see if I am. 25. I am very familiar.
Yes, you are familiar. The Dambala is one of the West African gods. Would you also make a mythos roll, Mr. Bracklin?
Let's see if I can make it. No, 89 out of 15. No.
But you can't think of any mythos connection.
Alrighty.
Okay. How do you spell it?
Which, Dambala?
Dambala, yeah.
That would be D-A-M-B-A-L-A.
Thank you.
I mean, that was, you know, maybe taking this, some of this voodoo stuff seriously. Has he always had an interest in it, or has it developed more recently?
Well, I'd say it's really more recent. I don't know, past few years anyway. You know, neither of us held truck with such things when we were children. Mr. Ratcliffe and Mr. Ballantyne, would you care to make psychology rolls? I think I heard Mr. Ratcliffe say he missed it. Mr. Ballantyne?
Yes, I passed. I passed with 41.
Professor Gist seems open and honest. He doesn't appear to be hiding anything or prevaricating in any way.
Well, Albert, what actually do you expect is going to happen if we talk to Caleb? Because he already sent some men to shoot us at your place. So,
well, I must interrupt you there, Dr. Larson. We don't know that Caleb sent those men.
That's true. That's true.
I hope this is all just a misunderstanding and we can clear this up. Caleb's my brother and he may be involved in something dark, but I don't think he'd dare. I don't think he'd be wishing me any harm or any of us. He may just be involved with the wrong sort of people and we just need to clear this all up.
Okay. Yeah, that is true. I apologize.
Not a problem, Dr. Larson. Thank you.
So what do you think Rafe wanted with Joe when he called at your house yesterday?
Well, that's another question entirely.
I
really can't say. I imagine when we get out to the plantation tomorrow, we can ask him that.
Okay. Jim, the moment I see that Albert is doing something else and that I can engage in conversation with Joy, I'll do it because I wanna ask him a few questions. But when Albert is not paying attention.
Okay. Such an opportunity does not arise during dinner.
Okay.
Mr. Ratcliffe, perhaps you could show Professor Gist the notes that you've been working on for your latest occult book. Perhaps you would fly over them.
I would like to get some input on that.
Yes, Mr. Ratcliffe. I'd be more than happy to hear what you've been working on.
Oh, I've been interesting, quite interesting facts. I'd like
your very respected input.
Yeah, perhaps we can sit together after dinner. Discuss the greater things.
Sounds splendid.
Okay, so, if you don't mind, gentlemen, I would like to wrap up dinner and get some rest. So, if, I don't want to stay here for too long, you know. I would rather go back to our rooms. So, if the opportunity arises, I'll talk to Joy.
Okay.
Gideon.
Well, after dinner, Professor Gist invites Mr. Ratcliffe to have a seat on the veranda for a smoke and a drink and a discussion of things occult.
Okay. So I will approach Joy, and I'm gonna give him. Hey, Joy, do you want a chocolate? I got some when we were in town for you.
Okay. Just real quick before we get there, Mr. Ratcliffe, your discussion with Professor Gist proceeds quite well. He proves himself to be very knowledgeable. Perhaps even more knowledgeable in occult matters than you are.
Preposterous.
although throughout the evening, you do not learn anything new.
Alrighty.
So yes, Dr. Larson. Chocolate. I haven't had chocolate in a long time. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
No problem. Hey, Joey, I wanted to ask you something. When we were going to Albert's house, you kind of knew the way there. Is that right?
Yes, I certainly did, Dr. Larson.
But it was the first time that you were there, right? How do you know the way?
Well, I don't rightly know, sir. It's I just get these dreams sometimes, these visions. I just see things and I know things, and I don't know how I know them. I just know them.
Hey.
Well, that was weird.
Jim, I've got you, and I think Dave is on the back.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
No. Okay, I apologize. Yeah, I lost internet there for a moment, so I dropped the call.
Okay.
Yeah, new cat messing around cut my internet off. So he's a little squirrely little bugger. Anyway.
Damn that cat.
All right. So I was asking Joey if how was it that he knew the way?
Did you not get his response?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know how I know. I get these dreams sometimes, these visions, and I see things and I know things, and I don't rightly know how I know them. I just know them, sir.
Oh, yeah. It used to happen to me as well when I was a kid your age. What are your dreams about? Can you tell me a little bit more?
I had a dream about finding Professor Gist, and I knew where he was.
Were we in the dream as well?
No, not that I recall. Didn't know you gentlemen until Jason took us took us to Mr. Ratcliffe's house.
Oh, and what other dreams have you had regarding your sister? and what is happening to your sister. Have you have any dreams about her?
He starts to look nervous and a bit scared. He said, yes, I've had a couple snakes. I've been seeing a lot of snakes.
Around her or around you?
Around her. She don't like snakes. I don't rightly like snakes either, but yeah, I've been seeing a lot of snakes around her. I'm really scared for her, Dr. Larson.
Don't worry. It's just a dream. It used to happen to me. I used to have bad dreams also. But there's nothing to worry about. What else can you tell me about these dreams?
Oh, I don't really know. They just come sometimes and they go, and I don't know.
Well, let's do the following. If you have another dream, can you tell me about it immediately?
I certainly will, Dr. Larson. I certainly will.
Okay, very good. When did you start having these dreams? When this all started, or even before that?
No, it was maybe a little before, but not too much before.
Okay. So, and don't worry, you know, don't be afraid. I'm pretty sure your sister will be all right when we find her. Those are just dreams and nightmares. Nothing to worry about, okay?
I certainly hope you're right, sir. I certainly hope you're right.
Okay. I leave him in his room and I go back to mine. Do I see Frank there?
Mr. Ballantyne?
Hello, Dr. Larson.
Okay, I share with Frank what I just discussed with Joey.
Dreams and visions?
Yeah. It's kind of strange. I told him to let me know if he dreamed about something else. Maybe we can.
Do you have any idea what's causing these dreams, Doctor?
No, I have a I suspect that it's because of this ritual that, you know, is going on in the plantation, but nothing else. Maybe Jeffrey can tell us a little bit more, point out if it is possible for a sorcerer, for instance, to implant dreams in one person. Because if that is the case, I'm afraid that, it is possible that it was a setup for Albert.
You mean that his brother's trying to lure him to the plantation?
Or someone else, right?
Us, again. I hope not.
Yeah. We'll have to just wait and see what happens, unfortunately. I would like to take turns tonight to watch over our two rooms, especially Joyce. I don't want, you know, anyone jumping here tonight.
Yes, we don't want any more zombies turning up.
Yeah, that's about right. Maybe let's wait for everyone to be here and then we will we'll take turns, okay?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Joey will turn in and go to bed. Mr. Radcliffe, your discussion with Professor Gist continues. As I said, it's, you don't really learn anything new from him, but he does prove himself to be quite the expert in occult matters. Your discussion goes deep into the evening, deep into the night, until eventually he suggests that you both churn in as you have a big day tomorrow.
Sounds good.
So you're setting up a watch for the evening, for the night?
Yeah, let's take turns. I can actually go first.
Are you inviting Professor Gist to take a turn? Or just the three of you?
No, just to join one of us, maybe, yes.
Okay, he suggests that he will join you for the first watch, Dr. Larson.
Okay.
Mr. Radcliffe and Mr. Ballantyne turn in. And would you make a spot hidden roll, Dr. Larson?
Okay. No, I failed.
The night is quiet, and you don't see anything. You don't see or hear anything out of the ordinary.
Okay, how is Albert behaving? Is he talkative? Is he can hear all psychology?
No need. He's not particularly talkative. He seems a little tired. A little worn.
Okay. All right. So I will cap the next one in line.
So, having a dream. So, okay. Take over now, Dr. Larson. I take it the coast is clear.
Good. Wake me up if something is strange, okay, Frank?
Of course, yes.
Okay. I go to bed.
Okay. Professor Gist turns in as well. Mr. Ballantyne, would you make a spot hidden roll, please?
Fail.
The night is quiet and still. A few crickets chirping here and there. Beautiful warm southern evening and nothing else of interest.
And then the hotel explodes.
When sudden, no. So I presume then you will wake Mr. Radcliffe for his turn at the watch.
Your turn, Jeffrey.
Oh, the clown's eating me. Oh, right. It's my turn.
Would you make a spot hidden roll, Mr. Radcliffe?
Let's see if I can do that. Oh, the answer is yes. Three.
Did you say three?
3-0-3.
Oh, nice. From the balcony overlooking the street, huddled in an entryway to one of the buildings across the street, you see two gentlemen who appear to be, they're both white, but they both appear quite shabbily dressed, fairly poor, who are steadily watching your balcony. In fact, it occurs to you that you can't hardly believe that Dr. Larson and Mr. Ballantyne did not see them. They're so obvious to you.
Oh, dear. This is a pickle. Let's see, to wait it out or to confront them. Uh, might be best to wake my companions. I'm going to go back in and rouse Dr. Larson.
Okay.
Hey, oh. What is going on? I look for my gun immediately.
It's a good plan, Dr. Larson. We're not alone here.
Oh.
There's some... Okay. I saw some men, very, very shabbily dressed, outside, watching our balcony. I believe they know we're here.
Okay, let's wake up Frank and Albert.
I think we should leave Professor Gist behind.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna let's go wake up Frank.
What's hey, Frank.
My turn to watch again?
Not quite.
No, worse than that.
Well,
oh, maybe you should have been more careful on your watch. You've got some men watching our room, and I don't like the look of them.
Okay, I peek through the balcony and see if I recognize any of those guys.
You do not.
All right.
If we go outside the hotel, is there any way to sneak on him?
Nope.
From behind or?
Nope.
Or no,
they're in an entryway across the street.
We could go out of the. Is there a back entrance to the hotel?
Yes, there is.
But they'd still be able to see us coming. They've got
yes,
that side of the street covered.
Yep. Yeah, even if you went out the back, you'd still have to come up the street, and they would see you coming up the street.
We're going to have to shoot them then.
Of course, certainly, there's no other option.
We could call the police and say there's a.
You have your rifles? Perhaps you could pick them off from the balcony?
Yes, picking people off from a balcony, that's the sign of a well-adjusted individual. I'm not crazy, you're crazy. I have to shoot everyone to prove it.
That's how things work in the South, is it?
Pretty close.
Or we could call the hotel management, say that we're being harassed.
Well, they haven't done anything to us yet. They're just standing in a doorway across the street. Well, maybe we could get them picked up for vagrancy.
Yes, they do look a bit shabby. They shouldn't be hanging around outside such a nice hotel like this.
Yes, let's call the police.
Oh, the other thing is to just confront them. Go talk to them.
You should talk to them with bullets.
No, we go well, but talk to them. Just so they will know that we know they're watching and.
The direct approach, I like it. All right, I think two of us should go, and one of us should stay here to make sure nothing happens to the professor or Joe, and also maybe to provide cover from the balcony if necessary.
Okay, who's better with a rifle?
I'm best with a shotgun.
That's close range. Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Rackus,
bit windy there, but I believe you were suggesting we go and confront these men while the doctor covers us.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure a shotgun under the raincoat will deal with any close-range problems we might encounter.
All right. Yep, I'm doing just that. Get dressed, put on a raincoat, put my shotgun under the raincoat.
Yes, a raincoat. Yeah. That won't look suspicious at all as you're leaving the hotel.
Absolutely not. Or I could keep it under. Just fold my coat over my arm. Keep it under there.
Okay, just be careful, guys. I will be watching from here. I won't actually turn the valve back to reach the car.
Sounds sensible. All right, Frank, ready?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I'll make sure my gun, my shotgun, both barrels loaded, full of.
Okay.
Yes. Handful of shells in my pocket.
Suitably armed, you make your way down to the street, and you're just going out the front door.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yes. There'll be no element of surprise.
As soon as you exit the hotel, the two gentlemen across the street quite obviously take notice of you and start running.
After them.
Let's go. We take off after them.
Have your dexes here somewhere.
Mine's 13.
13 and Mr. Badger is 10, I believe. Okay, Mr. Badger. Would you make a roll, please? 45%.
02.
I heard a 02.
Yes, a 02.
Okay. And Mr. Ratcliffe, would you also make a roll, please? 55%.
11.
Good God. Yes, you were. Both of you were quite easily able to catch up to them. Did you want to tackle them or? Try to grapple them, or what are you? just jog alongside them.
Guess just actually, yeah, that would be pretty fun. Just jog alongside them. I guess I'll just try to bash him in the back and knock one of them off balance.
Get away from us! We ain't doing anything. Okay, make a bash roll.
I guess that'll count as a club.
Yeah. You're using the shotgun as a club?
No, actually, I'll just punch at him.
Okay.
But hit 35.
Okay. He manages not to dodge. Damage
is... Oh, just one.
Okay.
Do I see this?
Yes. By the time they catch up and Mr. Ratcliffe punches him, they're about a block and a half down the street. So, kind of leaning over the balcony and looking, you're able to watch. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Ballantyne? Well,
I will...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Darcy.
No, what I was going to say is that as soon as I see this, I will wake up Albert, and I tell him what is happening, and I need to go with him. I'll stay here. Stay alert.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah,
yell from the balcony if something's wrong here, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and I hurry after them.
Okay, it'll take you a couple of rounds to catch up to them. Mr. Ballantyne?
Okay, I'm going to try and grapple the other guy.
Okay.
17, that's success.
However, he is a very slippery character, and with his dodge roll of 0-1.
What does he do, like a backflip?
Coated in butter.
South Carolina ninja.
He spins around and takes a swing at you, which hits.
Ah.
Four. That'll be 1 point of damage, sir. The other gentleman, the one who was engaged by Mr. Ratcliffe, takes a swing at you in return, and also catches you for 1 point of damage. Get away from us. We ain't doing anything.
Why were you watching our hotel?
It's a public street. We can be out here. Help, police. We're being assaulted. Mr. Ratcliffe? Your turn, sir.
He's still gonna end up well.
Do we have Mr. Ratcliffe with us?
Oh, yeah, here I am.
Your turn, sir.
Sir, I want you to, sir, be calm. Why did you run?
That's our business. Help! Help!
Oh God. Frank, what do we do?
Okay. We know you're up to something dodgy. Now just be gone with you, and we won't chase you. But if we see you again, you know, you'll be in trouble.
Tell Caleb that we'll be watching.
You're the ones who are going to be in trouble. And they take off running again.
Right, shoot him in the back.
Damn, I wish the silencer for a shotgun had been invented. I'll keep my shotgun.
A moment later, Dr. Larson comes running up to you.
Are you okay, guys? Let's go back to the hotel.
All right, let's turn in. I think we've sent a message to our plantation dwelling friend.
That's right. Well done. But let's go to the hotel before the police comes.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe
you could give us some medical attention. They appear to have got the better of us.
You punched us in the head.
A brief.
Well, let's see what we can do. I got my first aid kit with me, so let's go to the room.
Okay. As you return to the hotel, the dawn light is just starting to break.
Okay. Once we're in our rooms, I will apply first aid for both of them.
Go right ahead.
First aid. 13. The first. So who's gonna go first? Who's first?
you can go ahead, Ed.
Okay, so that's Frank. Is that's an ID4, right, Jim?
D3.
Okay. That's 2 points.
Thank you, Dr. Lawson. We're better already.
Good. Let me see that, Jeffrey. I pass. That's 3 points.
I feel good as new.
Very good. It's good to have my first aid kit around. Okay, at least we send the message. So I would say let's take a quick nap and then go for breakfast and head for the plantation.
Now that we know, so maybe we've just made it worse.
Well, we might have forced him to show his hand.
Yeah, he knew we were coming because he had people watching us. So now he knows that we are not in a good mood. So, well, we need to pick up Terrence.
Oh, yes, there's a train due this morning. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps he'll be on that one.
Okay. So we have breakfast.
So breakfast and then for the train station?
Right.
Okay. Breakfast passes uneventfully. You make your way to the train station in plenty of time for the morning train to arrive. Mr. Williams.
Yes. Sorry, I had to take my microphone off mute.
No problem. It is Monday morning. Your train is pulling into Charleston Station.
Yawn and arise from a lengthy coma. Finally. And I will gather my belongings and disembark.
Okay. As you step onto the platform, you see waiting for you Mr. Ballantyne, Dr. Larson, Mr. Ratcliffe, a young black child, and another middle-aged gentleman who you do not recognize.
Oh, hello, everyone. I see you have failed to replace me. Well done.
Welcome back to the dream team, Terrence.
Yes, at least my substitutes here are no match for me. Ah, so what's all this about urgent business? You all look relatively okay.
Horrible things happening, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Certainly.
I think Joe and Professor Gist here can fill you in a little better than we can. We're still trying to figure it all out.
I see.
Well, my Elihu should be here shortly. Perhaps we can talk in the car on the way out.
Yes, that sounds good. And as we converse in the car, believe it or not, I do need to go. But I did get to make my big entrance. So
I was going to suggest that's a good place to call it.
Yeah.
Big damn Terrence.
That's right. All right, well, very good.
Excellent.
Apparently you all can manage quite well without me. Or well enough.
We're okay. We have guns.
Ah, yes. Guns always help. That's right.
Maybe you can get a gun that shoots racers.
Now we're talking.
That will be silent, perhaps.
You're the most badass barber in town.
Hey, Seth, can you check the email I send you?
Oh, yeah, the specs for the sound card?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try to dig those up and send that on to you either later today or
later in the week.
One more, just for fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to run. Okay. But we'll see y'all next week, and good luck with your problem there, Seth.
Okay. I hope we get this fixed for all your sake.
Yeah, it's really fine for you. All right. Okay. Y'all have a good one.
Bye.
Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.